Something that you can put on and dress yourself up with and make yourself look better. But scripture tells us that all of what we have to offer God is as filthy rags. Oh, but blessed be God for those of us that have trusted in him. Oh, the righteousness of God has been imparted to us through the Lord Jesus. We read in the book of Revelation of a garment that is being put together, as it were, that in that day shall be displayed, and it is referenced as the righteousnesses of saints. That's the garment. You know, garments in scripture speak of testimony. It speaks of our character as seen in the world. And so my fine linen is an enemy of Caleb, will be an enemy of the people of God, will be an enemy of the young people that needs to be driven out and defeated. The second son here is Ahiman, and it means brotherhood. You know, the world has many social groups and social clubs and brotherhoods, and it seeks to imitate the blessed brotherhood that we have in Christ Jesus. How wonderful to know that many of us come from all kinds of backgrounds, different ethnicities, different parts of the world, but in Christ Jesus, brothers and sisters in him. To know that we have been brought into divine fellowship with the Father and the Son because of the work of the cross. And the Apostle John tells us that we are also in fellowship one with another. Oh, the scriptures tell us to pray for the brotherhood. Oh, that we would pray one for another. You know, the Lord, he had performed many miracles. It was bread that was provided. And there were many that followed him simply because of the miracles. And when they were challenged by the Lord, they turned back. They were not true disciples. That word there just simply means they were following him. And he turned to his true disciples and he said, "Will you also go away?" And the response was, "To whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of life." You know, beloved saints, where are we going? What are we looking to? Who are we looking to? What are we looking for? We have to ask ourselves, is not the Lord Jesus enough? Is not what he has given to us and opened up to our hearts, is it not enough? Oh, there's always murmuring. We see it in the Old Testament with the people of God. God blessed. God brought them out with a strong and mighty hand to bring them in. And yet there was murmuring all along the way. But this man had a different spirit. Oh, that we would have a different spirit. Oh, that we would have attitudes that would glorify God. You know, young people, our children, you know, I have some children, two of them are here. We have three. Our children know us. They know the reality of our Christianity. They know our idiosyncrasies at home. They might know when, you know, dad is sitting over there quietly, well, you know, something's going through his mind. Maybe I should wait until he gets up and comes over here. They know us, right? The young people know us who are older. They know us who are interested in them. They're those who may be sick and laid aside. Oh, how we should be those who would go out and reach out to them. They're those who are drifting. Older ones, let us go and seek those souls. Don't let them drift until they drift away. And let us be bold to be able to confront issues based on the word of God. You know, we live in a day and age where feelings and the things that are seen carry the heart away. The simpleness of the word of God is often given up for all of the bright lights. I want to tell you this. I love music. If you know me, I love music. In my home assembly, I'm involved with some of the choirs there. We teach music, all of these things. But everything has a place. And you know what the world and Christendom has presented today? Much of all of the entertainment and the glitter that is in the world. The brotherhood wants you to latch on to those things and make you think that that is what Christianity is about. But you read the Apostle Paul in his letters to the saints at Corinth. He speaks about the simplicity that is in Christ Jesus. There is a refreshing aspect of simplicity because it takes away all of the human element and it simply sets us in relationship with our God and his principles. Oh, may we draw closer together. May we value the brotherhood, because the enemy of our souls is seeking to imitate what we have in Christ and to fool us to think that there is something greater. Caleb saw the problem with pride. He saw the issues with the garment, saying that this is fine linen. And he says, the giants have got to go. This is my inheritance, and they are keeping me from possessing it. They've got to go. And then he comes to the last son, which means in subjection. Rebellion. Not willingness to subject to the word of God. You know, I started to speak of what we see in Christian circles today. We want to be entertained. And beloved saints, I want to tell you this. At some of our meetings, we take the same attitude. Many of us come simply looking for something to happen to entertain us, when we need to come with hearts that are prepared from the word of God, from sitting in communion with the Lord, and have something to give and to contribute to the meetings. And that is brothers and sisters alike. Brothers take the public part, but sisters take the silent part. But you, sisters and young ladies, need to come with things in your heart of the Lord. What have you been indicting in? Is it simply our school? Is it simply, you know, chitter chatter on our devices, talking about this and that? Or do I speak about the things of Christ? Here's a measurement for you. I want to ask you as young people, when was the last time that you used your phones or your iPads to have conversations about what was spoken about in Sunday school? When was the last time that you started or raised the question as you connect with many of your young people about, well, you know, brother so-and-so spoke last Sunday and he was speaking about, you know, the glories of Christ. I didn't really get that. Does anyone know what that means? Or connections and interactions simply of a lot of foolishness? That's part of knowing if I am like Caleb. Singleness of heart. And you know, I want to tell you this, that when we move on this line, you're going to find that you grow exponentially, quickly, leaps and bounds. You know, you talk about technology, how long it took to have a computer, the development of the computer, and it become a mainstay in our homes, some 40 years or 30 years. And yet from that point forward, technology has increased tenfold, a hundredfold in every single year. Sometimes within a given year, new technology has come out more than once. And when you put the Lord first, and when you get into this book, and when your conversations are about him, you're going to grow in a way just like how technology has grown. The saints are going to know. Your parents are going to know. They're not going to have difficulty telling you so-and-so and you being obedient. You'll be in subjection to them. You know why? Because you're in subjection to the word of God. Young people, this is what we want for you. And so Caleb had a big job on his hands. But it says that Caleb, the man of the Caleb, this one with a different spirit, he drove out the giants. And that word drove, I understand, is a similar word to when God, we read in Genesis, he drove out our foreparents from the garden. That sin had come in. And here for Caleb, it was the enemies that had possessed the possessions of the people of God. And he was not going to wait another minute. He had possession of the inheritance and he was going to deal with the giants. But was Caleb capable of doing it by his own self? No, the Caleb who said to the 10 and the people in the book of Numbers, we are well capable to go up. The Lord has given the land to us. You see, we can never grow spiritually if it is in our own strength. It must be in the strength of the Lord Jesus. It must be under his guidance. It must be under the word of God, who's able to lead and direct and give us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And it says that he went up from there to the inhabitants of Debir. And the name of Debir before was Kiriath Sefer. Debir means oracle. Kiriath Sefer means city of the book or books. But it's not the word of God. It's the books that are in the world. And you know, there's some very good books in the world. I'm not going to take away from some very good books. They're classic books that have been written. They're books of education and theory. We need those books. But you know, there are books in the world that are completely full of filth and nonsense. And we say to ourselves, whether you have a physical book like many of us used to read, or you have an electronic books today, be careful in reading the materials of this world. Materials that use all kinds of profane language, get rid of it. You see, in the book of Acts, when there were those who were changed, they brought all the books and all of the sorcery and all of the nonsense of this world, and they put it in a heap and burnt it up. Done with it. You know why? Because the enemy wants your mind. And the entrance of that material into the minds of believers will cause us to sin and to fall. And so guard your mind, the helmet of salvation. And so Caleb goes in to this place, Kiriath Sefer, the city of books. His desire is that it might be a place like an oracle of God, speaking as a mouthpiece of the wisdom and the mind of God. Young people, learn the scriptures. Learn the language of the scriptures. Use the language of the scriptures. And you'll be safe when you know the language of the scriptures and you follow the principles that are outlined. I love the Apostle Paul and his relationship with Timothy. And he entrusted into Timothy's hands that which had been entrusted to his. And he charged Timothy that he would guard the book, that the truth of God, that he would maintain it, not allowing it just to go to anyone and all kinds of things being mingled in. No, as he received things from the Lord, he passed them on literally verbatim to Timothy. He said, Timothy, you hold these things. I charge you. And then you pass it on to faithful men. Then it says, and Caleb said, he that smiteth Kiriath Sefer and taketh it, him will I give Aksa, my daughter, in marriage. And Othniel, the son of Kenaz, the brother of Caleb, took it. And he gave him Aksa, his daughter, in marriage. You know, we spoke a little bit on this portion in December at the Winter Youth Conference. We took up a session on marriage. And some of the young people are getting near to marriage. Some of us have enjoyed marriage for many years. It's a wonderful institution that God has made. I encourage young brothers and young sisters to marry, as the scripture says, in the Lord. It's wonderful to have come up in an assembly together to be able to find those brothers or sisters who believe the same things that you believe, who honor God in the same way. The worst thing that we can have is a divided home and then divided children. The principles of God's word, they matter. But here was Caleb. Caleb had a daughter. You know, I have a daughter. I have daughters. There are many who have daughters. Brother Natter has daughters. And how they mean much to us. To see them passed off into the hands of quality brothers. Caleb knew something about his daughter because he imparted to her what was in his heart. And she took it up. You know, she was never going to be a brother in the assembly to come to the platform to preach. And yet her name means adornment. And we read in the book of Titus chapter 2 that you and I can adorn the doctrine of God. Every one of us can dress it up by the lives that we live. And Axa lived that kind of life. And young sisters, we want you to be chaste and pure and live before God in a way that glorifies Him and your parents. And when marrying time has come, that as you marry, it's a wedding that your parents can bless God for the husband that you have joined yourself to. Wilt thou go with this man? Yes, I will go. But make sure that he is a godly man. Make sure he's a Caleb who has singleness of heart. Make sure he's a brother that has spiritual desires. And you know, for some wives that have husbands, I want to tell you, you can help us. Because one of the things that perhaps you don't know is that leadership is a burden. It's a weight. It's difficult. And we are but flesh and we have fears. But it's wonderful when you have a wife that says, I'm praying for you. A wife that can encourage you. A wife that can turn to a scripture and say, listen, it may be getting hot for you, or you may not know this or that, but here's what the word of God says. Think of the woman in the Old Testament who had the vision, the discernment to see that Elijah was a man of God. And she was able then to make things room and a table for him. And her husband was involved in that. But here was a daughter, unmarried. And Caleb said, you see that city there? Whoever's able to take it can have my daughter. What a prize she must have been. You know, some of us want to, well, some of us, some may want to give away their daughters to get rid of them. But he saw her as a prize, someone that's going to be an additive to a new household. He says, but you've got to be a warrior. You've got to be willing to take up and to fight so that the possessions that God has given to us, that we're able to possess those things and enjoy the blessings of the land. Who is going to step forward, young men? Or you might be 13 and 14. Maybe you're not ready for a wife yet, but you are, should be in training. You know, they don't send a man into war unless he's been trained. And it takes years. But then comes the time when war is at hand and he says, okay, here are the men that we've been training. Who will stand up? Now is not the time to cower in fear. Now is the time to say, I can go forth because I am in the strength and the energy of the Spirit of God. And Othniel moves forward and conquers the city. You know, I love the way scripture and the Spirit of God outlines things. It simply says he took it. And if I was writing this, boy, I would have detailed everything. I went up over this hill and valley and this. He took it. No problem. God was with him. And I want to tell you, young men, there are giants in our lives and issues, but we can conquer it if we trust in God. So now, here's Axa. Here's Othniel. And this is a very beautiful part of this interaction with Caleb. They are together. And it says it came to pass in verse 18, as she came unto him, that she moved him, this is Othniel, to ask of her father for a field. Honey, I want a parcel of land. I want a field for us. I want that inheritance. My dad has much land. Oh, he's been faithful to God, and God has blessed him. Oh, Othniel, I want a field. Ask Dad for a field. And you might say, well, why didn't she ask him? Because that's her dad. Well, there's, again, a divine order of things. She was now in subjection to her head, Othniel. He was the leader. And it was only right that he would take these things up for her. Ask my dad for a field. And it says that she alighted from her ass. And now this is interesting. Caleb said unto her, what wouldest thou? I put it in our program. What do you want? She said, Othniel, Othniel, go ask dad. But dad now comes to his daughter. She had gotten off of the ass and he says, what do you want, my daughter? You know, I want to tell you this. Aksa could only ask Caleb for something that she knew that he had. And dads and brothers, what do we have for our children? What can they ask us for? It's wonderful when we help them along with material things. It is wonderful. I think it's appropriate. But of spiritual things. Can my daughter ask me of a field? Give me some of the inheritance that I might enjoy it. We're now in Ephesians territory, young people. For us, seated in him, the inheritance there is spiritual for us. What can we ask dad that he would give to us of what he has acquired of that inheritance that God gave to him like he gave to Caleb? He gives her a field. And then she says, give me a blessing, for thou hast given me the south, but give me also springs of water. And he gave her the upper springs and the lower springs. You know, having a parcel of land is wonderful, right? There was the land, there was the upper, there was the land that there was, but you know, you need to have water to be able to irrigate the land for there to be fruitfulness and growth. And he had given her the upper springs, he had given her the south. But give me springs of water. This is the movement of the Spirit of God. Oh, that the Spirit of God would have control over our lives and our hearts. And that the water, the energy of the Spirit might be applied. That we might have refreshment. It says Caleb gave her the upper springs and he gave her the lower springs. You know, there are the mountaintop experiences. Oh, how to enjoy those things given to us in the mountain. But you know, there's also those lower valley, the south experiences, the heat of the day, that we also need to have the Spirit of God, the water, the Word of God in a sense, applied also so that we would be refreshed. As I close, beloved saints, it has been a wonderful weekend together. We trust, young people, that we, like Caleb, would withhold nothing, nothing withheld, all given over to him. And that we would have the sense of wanting to be like Caleb. That even in his later stages of life, we saw him as a young man, we saw him as the middle passage of ages, and here is an older man still having the spiritual desire to go on for the things of Christ. Don't give up, young people. Don't give up, beloved saints. It is worth it. And there is blessing that is associated with it. There is for these new homes, as we who are older have children that will one day establish new homes. We want to give them of what we have, the possession, the blessings in Christ, to give a field, but also to give upper springs and lower springs as well. The Lord encourage us, keep us, preserve us as we wait for his soon return. May we bow our heads in prayer. Oh God, our Father, we are thankful for thy faithfulness to us. We thank thee that thou hast loved us in giving thy son to us. And he has secured us for himself, not simply to save us from judgment to come, but the thought is to bring us into all blessings. and to share his glory and the blessings that are his as a man by right. Oh, the bride that has been given to him for the joy that was set before him. He endured the cross, despising the shame. He's now sat down at the right hand of God. But there's coming a day when he, like Isaac who was in the field, the bride shall come to him. We shall be forever with the Lord. But while we are here, Lord Jesus, we want to have spiritual vision. We want to have spiritual desires and commitment and faithfulness and single-heartedness to thee. We thank thee for these examples of Joshua and Caleb. Make them true and real in our hearts. And help us from this day forward to be like these men who simply desire to follow God. Oh, we pray for this assembly and for the assemblies that are identified with us who walk in fellowship. We're not perfect. There are difficulties, there are challenges in this life. But oh, how we pray that young men, young women would take up the mantle, would have a desire to be that next generation that would come up, who would have a desire to be faithful to thee. Bless us, we pray. Keep us, we pray, Lord Jesus, from the enemy overthrowing us. But help us, Lord Jesus, to go in for the inheritance, to take it up, Christ himself, and to enjoy all that he has given to us in himself. So we thank thee as we commend ourselves to thee now. In Jesus' precious name, amen.